many Christians. Isn't it amazing that the same Holy Spirit dwells in a tiny little person like that and is capable of speaking, especially to those young and open hearts? And it's wonderful to be able to, just be able to give them that opportunity and work together with parents to build and grow the revelation of God. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 and to 11. And we're busy with a series on being stewards of all that God has given us. And we're looking at today again at the gifts recorded in Corinthians and just wanting to get a better understanding and a greater hunger for those gifts. So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's just a beautiful passage and a beautiful almost array of gifts that we read about here. We want to look at their operation. We're going to look, probably won't get finished today, just looking at these gifts and how they operate. And we're going to just trust God. My heart is that we'll just trust God to make us aware of what he wants to do in and through us and how that operates. And these gifts, Paul, we saw last week that Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of these gifts. And the Greek there, it's for one thing, we definitely can't ignore these gifts. We definitely have to pursue them. We have to go earnestly after them. And A.W. Tozer said this. He said, one of the most telling blows which the enemy ever struck at the life of the church was to create in her a fear of the Holy Spirit. And where the devil has caused people to shy away from that fellowship, from that intimacy, from that understanding of the Holy Spirit, it's been a devastating blow to the church because it's cut off so much of what the power that God wants to operate through, because a lot of how God operates is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we saw last week that word to earnestly desire is the Greek word zeloo, which means to have a warmth of feeling, to burn with zeal, to strive after, to busy oneself about, to exert oneself towards, and to zealously pursue. So we have to be very proactive when it comes to these gifts. We can't just, they're there, leave them in the cupboard. God says, we've got to know about them. We've got to be active and zealous to see them operating and pursue them. To desire them, to see them operating even through our own lives. When we go to verse 4, it's beautiful. We see here, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there's a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all. And here again, we see that there's a beautiful picture of the Trinity. We don't have the word Trinity in Scripture, but all through Scripture, we see the operating of all three persons of God, and operating here we see the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, all active in bringing this blessing to us and through us. And I love the word there, variety, because we've been looking at stewardship, and the word variety there means a difference, a diversity, but it also carries the meaning of distribution. And that's the language of stewardship, that God wants to distribute this incredible cornucopia of beautiful gifts that are desperately needed both by the body of Christ and in the world. And God says, the Holy Spirit is like, I'm a distributor, and I want to give these to you so that you can be my agents of distribution, like those guys that arrive at the door and come with a parcel, and you're like, oh, the parcel finally arrived. That's what God's called us to be, his couriers, and go out with those beautiful gifts. We see that it talks here of the gifts of the Spirit, and that's that word charismata, the gifts of grace, little pockets, little portions of God's grace for a need in a human life. Then we see also service, which is diakonai, which is where we get the word deacon. That means an attendance, ministry, serving. That's the very heart of Jesus. And those are true. Jesus, the same Lord Jesus, gives those ministries to each of us to go out and minister to the world. And then to God is it says the same God, but there are activities. And I love that word. And you've learned by now, I love words. Words speak to me. And this word it comes from the Greek energio. And if you translate it directly, it means in work. Okay, that's where we get the word energy from. And God is an active God. He's an energetic God. He's constantly working to fix the mess that mankind's decision to follow Satan has brought about. And he actively came in the person of Jesus Christ. And he actively pursues those who are lost. And God is always busy. There's this incredible activity. It's not a frenzy busyness like we get to in the world, because the Bible also says that when God created the world, he rested. So God is actually able to be completely rested, but also constantly active and effective. Then that word means to be effective, to be fervent, to be mighty in work. And we see here all the triune God is busy giving grace generously. We see him serving. We see him acting to right what the enemy has wronged within the world. And John 5 verse 16, we see that as well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted and said to her, and he said to them, my Father is always at work to this very hour, and I too am working. And so they were upset with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. And they said, oh no, you should be resting on the Sabbath. And he was like, no. I'm resting. I rest in God. But there's someone sick. I'm not going to leave them sick on the Sabbath. And he's saying to them, this is what my Father is always doing. And this is what I'm going to always be doing. Giving grace, giving healing, giving blessing. Even where it's not deserved. And he was saying to them, that's what he's saying. He's saying, no. That's not how we roll. That's not how the Trinity rolls. This is what we do. We're active and effective. And God calls us into that. We look back in our Corinthians passage there, and it says, and God, the God who empowers them all in everyone. And here's that word, energio, again. That activity, that effectiveness, that forcefulness. God empowers that in us by and through the Holy Spirit. Because as we go on, we'll see those gifts come. It's by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It's by us being filled with the Holy Spirit that God, that same powerful, working, dynamic God, wants to express himself through us. He's looking for those couriers. And do you feel energized today? Do you feel a sense of power to take on the challenges in this world? Or like me, you sometimes feel completely overwhelmed and like there's just too much of a job. But that's when I'm trying to do it in my own strength and not tapping in to the power of the Holy Spirit, to that activeness of God that God wants. He wants to empower us, to energize us. And we want that powerful proactivity to characterize our lives. And then the other thing that's beautiful in that passage, he says, he empowers these things in everyone, all of these things, all those different things that are distributed amongst, but there's something for every single one. Each person is given part of this beautiful picture. And we've seen that time and time again as we've looked at stewardship, and we've seen it time and time again as we've looked at the these different gifts, wherever they might be in Romans or Corinthians. And each and every one of us has a part to play. We'll pick that up. There's a beautiful picture of that later on. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, it says here, to each, again we see that concept, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that word manifestation is beautiful. I remember once there was a pastor's kid, and he said we've prayed, now we're waiting for the man at the station. That was his understanding of manifestation. But he understood that sometimes you pray and then you wait for the manifestation. You wait for the answer to prayer. You wait for the thing to become real. And that word means to render apparent, to appear, to manifestly declare, to make manifest or visible or known, that which is hidden and unknown, to make actual, to expose to view, and to show oneself. And isn't that beautiful that God is saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do through each of you. I'm going to give each of you through my Spirit a manifestation, a making real of who God is to the world. And we see that in Jesus, 1 John 3 verse 8. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the enemy, of the devil. And that's exactly the same word. He was manifest. Jesus was the manifestation of who God is in all his active power and fervent effectiveness. Jesus came and he just obliterated the works of the devil everywhere he went. And we see that in Acts 10 verse 37. And you yourselves know that whatever happened throughout all of Judea, beginning in the Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And again, we see that beautiful working of the Trinity. Jesus came, and as a man, he was in the same way that we are. He was anointed, but God anointed him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything he did was as a man under the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. In the same way that he's called us as men and women to be under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went around destroying the works of the enemy, setting the oppressed free, setting those bound up in their oppression and their addiction and all the things, setting them free to live in the light and the glory of God, wiping out the devil. And God's power and person was made apparent. It was manifest, it was made real and tangible, the healing, the freedom, the blessing. And to each of us is given some of that. Guys, can you think of a better Christmas present? A manifestation of who God is given to us to be able to go to somebody who's bound up, suicidal, whatever it might be, just overwhelmed by life, lost, far from God, and something of who God is given to each single one of us. And guys, the world desperately needs to know what God is really like. They can't see, they hear the media stream, they hear the rubbish, they hear the lies, they hear the propaganda of the devil. The only thing that will break that narrative is meeting a Christian with a gift, with a manifestation of God. It might just be the forgiveness they can show, or it might be the love that they show, it might be the kindness that they show, or it might be we'll see some of the beautiful supernatural things that just go, people go, how in the world? How did that happen? And they'll go, that's what God is like. That's what God can do, a manifestation of God. But each one of us carries a bit of that picture to the world. Each one of us has something for the people around us that the other people in this room can't do. Isn't that an amazing, exciting picture? If we can, just get a vision for that. Someone healed from cancer, someone lifted out of depression, someone brought out of a terribly difficult situation, and most importantly, someone coming to know Jesus and changing their eternal destiny. That's what God is offering to us and through us. And then there's another, going back to Corinthians 12, 7, it's a beautiful phrase there, the common good. And if you translate that directly, it means to bring together, to collect, but it also means to contribute and to benefit everyone, to make profitable and advantageous. And there's there's just this beautiful picture again that when each individual brings the manifestation, the bit of God's grace they've got, and they bring it together, it's a collection that is for the common good. It's a collection that's for the advantage of everyone. And it's very fundamental and it's very basic, but it's so important that we revisit these things and just say, Lord, I recognize I cannot separate myself from the body of Christ, from interacting, wherever it might be, on Sunday, small group, in relationship, when we need the body to come together so that all the gifts can be stirred up and operate and understood, so that the world then, when we go out, because these gifts are not just for within the walls of our meetings, that to touch the world wherever we find people that are under the oppression of the enemy. But that's a beautiful phrase, each bringing their part. I love the story of O. Henry, the third ingredient. He was an American writer that wrote short stories. And there's a story, I think it was at Christmas time, and there was this all these different people in a block of flats in quite a poor area. The one lady had a rib of beef, but that's all she had. She found a neighbor who had an onion. And she found another neighbor who had a potato. And they got together and they made a beautiful stew. But it would not have been that beautiful stew if it wasn't for each part that each person brought. So it's a very simple picture. But the stew is not complete until you and you and you and you and all of us have God. What have I got? What have you given me to bring to the stew and to bring to the picture? Because when it comes together for the common good, then everybody benefits. Everybody's advantaged and prospered and pushed ahead and blessed. And the interesting thing is that Jesus said in John 16 verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You know what that's talking about. The Helper is the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Supporter, the Strengthener, the Encourager. And Jesus said, it's better that I go. And that word advantage is the same word that is common good that we were looking at. So Jesus said, it's going to be for that common good. It's going to be that collecting of all the gifts. It's going to be that the convergence of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All that was inside of me is now going to be inside of my people all around the world. And they're going to come together, operating as a body. And it's going to be for the common good. It's going to be to the advantage. And he said, it's actually the Holy Spirit working through you as the body of Christ will be better than if I stayed here and I just carried all of it on myself. I'm going to distribute it amongst people, thousands, millions of people around the world. And it's going to be far more powerful and beautiful and effective on you, even than it was on me. And that's incredibly humbling and incredibly challenging. But that's what God wants to do. Can we have that dream as a local church? Because there's no one person here who can go, I'll tell you what, God, I'm all in. Give it all to me. Use me, I'll bring revival. Not everything we've been reading says that's not how it works. Everything we've been reading says it's got to be by each person doing their part. And maybe this has taken, why it's taken so long for us again to see the glory that we saw in the early days of the church. But if we are a local church, the challenge is to every single one of us to say, God, I'm going to pursue the gifts that you want to bring through me so that we can all bring it. And understand the latent potentiality of a body working with every single part. No part amputated, no part deformed. The body of Christ with all the parts there working together in maturity. What a dream. It's been dashed so many times. The enemy's come in so many times. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Jesus said, I'm going to beautify my bride. Jesus said, I'm going to put my splendor and my glory on my church. And we've got to keep fighting for that. And we've got to keep praying for that. And we've got to keep growing for that. Because the trouble so often is in our own flesh. And we're relying on the flesh. But can we go on a journey to get a solid ground? I don't even know what it looks like. Because it's inside, it's all of us working together. But we've got to go, Lord, maybe I'm a bit scared of this Holy Spirit stuff. I'm a bit scared of these gifts. But I want to know more, Lord. I want to pursue. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to pursue. pursue together. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to look at some of these Corinthian gifts and try to get an understanding of what they are. And I'm sure all of us carry testimonies and stories of how God has given us parts of this and glimpses of this, and even the revelation of it has grown over the years through church history. But we want to be good stewards of these gifts. So let's go to verse 8 of chapter 12. And I've read this already, but we see there's gifts there that I've highlighted, and there's wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguish between spirits or discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then that's 9 of them, 9 different gifts. Now, they can be roughly categorized into 3 groups. It puts them in a different order, but the first is gifts of revelation, the other one is gifts of power, and the third one is gifts of speech and declaration. So we're going to go through, and in that order, we're going to look at the gifts of revelation. Now, gifts of revelation is when God reveals something. He gives supernatural information or inspiration that cannot be gained by the 5 senses or by human reasoning. So it's something supernatural that God imparts. And first, the first one is wisdom. And it's a word of wisdom. This verse, this ESV says an utterance. The word there in the Greek is logos. It's a logos. It's a particular word of wisdom. It doesn't mean that God chooses someone and goes, oh, that person's going to be really wise. I'm going to give them the gift and they'll be wise in every given circumstance. We're able to learn that wisdom, and the Holy Spirit, as we study God's word, we can learn wisdom like that, and we can become wise through the years of experience that we have. But this is something else. This is like an understood to be a pocket of wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. You just go, wow, that was so helpful. We see an example of that in Luke 20, verse 20. And this is the Pharisees at work against Jesus. And it says, so they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, teacher, we know that you speak the truth rightly and show no partiality. But truly teach the way of God. Each they were hypocrites, eh? Because we know they didn't even believe that. They're trying to sound so nice to trap him. So he says, but is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were not able in the presence of all the people to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answers, they became silent. Sorry, excuse me. That's so incredible. They thought they'd trap Jesus. We're going to ask you, should we pay taxes? Then what's he going to do? He's going to be caught in the horns of a dilemma. And Jesus just gets this incredible piece of poetic wisdom. And he says, oh, sure, who's head? Whose name? I will then give that to whoever it is, and give God. What a brilliant answer. And they were floored. They were silenced. They were completely struck. And Jesus often did that. He often had this incredible wisdom that just his enemies couldn't even answer. And that's what the gift of wisdom. The first time in my life that I experienced is just to share a bit of a testimony. When I realized, wait a minute, that came out of nowhere. I think that was a gift from God. I was in the army, and I was the duty officer at this particular base in the middle of town. And there were guards that guarded the building. And they came from a completely different unit. And one day the brigadier saw these guards, and they were all shoddy in their uniform and whatever. So I was the officer on duty. So they were like, why are these guards so shoddy? Give the officer on duty 9 extra duties. because the guards are shoddy. And anyway, so I found this out. What? And I didn't even have any control over these guys. They came from a completely different unit. So I complained to the captain, and he said, oh, well, then you should have written that in the logbook. So I said, well, I didn't know that. You haven't even trained me in that. So he said, okay, fine. Come in on Saturday. Learn this manual. Come in on Saturday, and I'll give you an exam. And so I was like, I knew he's not going to come in on a Saturday, so it was just a mess up. But I was planned to go and pitch a tent for a gospel meeting on that Saturday. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to miss out on that for this army nonsense. And anyway, so we were in a prayer meeting, and I was praying, and my mind was not on this thing at all. It just out of the blue came into my mind, wait a minute, here's a solution for this, no matter how stupid the system is. And the Lord gave me this idea, and I thought that's going to be the answer. And I went to this captain, and I said, Captain, why should I learn that book and write an exam? Why don't I learn that book, and then I'll give lectures to the other officers who also don't know this book. And we can schedule some lectures, and I'll give those lectures, and then I don't have to come in on Saturday and whatever. So he's like, oh, brilliant idea. Let's go for it. So it became instituted. That was the punishment. Instead of something stupid, you had to give a lecture. But I was like, I just knew. I was like, wow, that was a little gift from God. I wasn't clever enough to come up with that solution. And I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just busy praying. And boom, the Holy Spirit put it into my head. And it allowed me to be able to go ahead with the ministry that was planned on the Saturday and not be interrupted by what the army was trying to do. So the wisdom that God gives us is not only for within church, not only in a counseling situation, it can be just to help us do the ministry that God is calling us to do. It could be to help us with challenges at work, where people go, wow, you're very wise. And you can go like Daniel, I'm not really. that was just the gift from the Holy Spirit. Then the next thing is knowledge. And again, this is a piece of divine knowledge that we can only have received from divine revelation. And this beautiful example of this in Jesus' life is in John 4, verse 16 to 18. And it says, Jesus said to her, go and tell your husband to come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband. What you have said is true. I love this. I love this passage because Jesus doesn't condemn her. He actually finds something to praise her. He's just exposed by a word of knowledge the mess that her life is in. But he says, well done, you spoke the truth. You didn't try to cover that up, but she was like, and then, but look at her in verse 28. The woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She knew this is supernatural. Nobody knew about me. And here's this guy, he's a stranger to the town, and he just told me everything I ever did. He just listed all my husbands, my messed up life, and of course, she became an evangelist. She turned that town around. She went and brought them all. They came to hear Jesus, and many people got saved. But a beautiful redemptive picture. But Jesus, using the word of knowledge, he asks her a question, and she comes back accurately, but then he goes, yeah, actually, this is your sixth man, and you're not married. Boom. How did you know that? This is God speaking. Beautiful, beautiful application of the word of knowledge, quite often used in personal, like prophetic situations and whatever. Lovely, lovely thing. I know a lady who God used powerfully in that area. We had a meeting, and it was in this strange-shaped hall. It was like an L-shaped hall, and this lady was ministering round the back, down the sort of side thing, and there was a lady sitting in the second row, and she went and took the preacher's water off the pulpit, and she had a drink, and she left the glass down under her chair. We were using this hall, so I didn't have any other glasses, but I just went very quietly and took the glass back and just filled it up and put it back on the pulpit in case the lady who was ministering needed it. Needless to say, about an hour later, this lady had come round from the back, and she had a word of encouragement for the lady who had taken the glass. And she said to her, you felt guilty because you took the glass of water, but God wants you to know that you can drink freely. And I just, my jaw just dropped, because I was like, that's not just, oh, God loves you, sister. That I knew that lady did not see that this lady took the glass of water. And I just thought, oh, Lord God, you're so amazing that you let people know that you're speaking through a word of knowledge like that. That same lady was praying for a man, and the Lord showed her a buried body. And she said to him, I see a buried body. The guy just began to sob and he began to weep, and he actually murdered his wife and buried her on their farm. And he came to repentance. He went to jail, but he came to repentance because of a word of knowledge. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And I don't, if we could learn to hear God like that, you've got to learn before, you don't go around saying, you buried your wife. but that's what Jesus also asked that question. Where's your husband? I don't know if she asked a question just to see if maybe she was online there. But hey man, manifestations of God, these are beautiful things. Beautiful gifts from God that God wants to use to us. Then the next one is discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits, this is an ability to understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. And if we look at scripture, it quite often had to do with what the devil was doing. If there was a demon operating, if someone with crazy behavior or strange behavior or a sickness, discerning. Sometimes Jesus, when someone was sick, they were deaf or dumb, it was because of a spirit, and Jesus drove the spirit out. Sometimes it was just a physical condition and he healed them. But that discerning of spirits is also a very, very helpful gift. Acts 16, verse 16, it says this, and as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. There's a world of understanding of what goes on in the crazy new agey stuff these days. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And it came out at that very hour. Her power, her ability to do her psychic powers came from a demon of the divination. These guys knew that. The Holy Spirit had told them that's what was going on. And Paul obviously rebuked it and delivered her. It's interesting that she was saying the truth. She was saying the truth, but just because of who it was bringing disreputation on the gospel and upon the messengers. They knew, though, what it was, and they dealt with it. Sandy has a testimony. She was at a party, and there was a magician doing magic tricks. But you have magicians who could do sleight of hands, tricks and whatever, but Sandy sensed, whoa, no, this isn't just that. And she started to pray against whatever spirit was operating through this guy. And the guy, he was going, oh, I don't know why this trick isn't working. I don't know what's going on here. And it messed up his show, because the Lord had given her discerning to pray. This thing is exactly what he did. Yeah. And there is power and authority in the name of Jesus, obviously. But God, when we go into a circumstance, the Holy Spirit can. And some people, the prophetic types from Romans 12 are usually more sensitive to these promptings. But all of us can get that discerning and be given those gifts. Someone once asked me, what's the most important gift? And I just felt like the Lord saying, it's the one that's needed at the moment. If someone's sick, you don't need a gift miracles. Probably, there's a whole lot that you could use for sick. People need encouragement. You don't need a gift of healing. You need what's gonna help them the most. And then we come to the gift, the power gifts. So this is, that's only three we've done. The power gifts. What I've planned is to carry on next week, because we're going to have to, when it comes to the three speech gifts, there's a whole chapter about how to use them. So we're gonna look into those ones in much more detail next week. But I'm thinking, let me just see, we've got faith, healing, and yeah, let's do these. The power gifts. So this is a supernatural deposit. The first one is the gift of faith. And there's a supernatural deposit of faith from above. And it's above your natural level of faith. Because we obviously all, we grow in faith. God gives us faith, even just to believe in him. And we grow in that faith. We can grow as we have encounters of God doing stuff. We grow in our faith. But it seems like the gift of faith is something that's it's like a, almost a supernatural package of grace that superpowers our faith for a specific situation. And we see that in an Old Testament context, Kings 18:33. It says, "And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces, and he laid it on the wood." This was Elijah when he was challenging the prophets of Baal to a duel. He said, "Is your God real? Call down fire on your offering. I'm going to call down fire on my offering, and we'll see whose God is real." So it was quite a challenge. But then he said, "Fill four jars with water and pour it on the burnt offerings and on the wood." And then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench with water. So he's wanting fire to come down and consume his offering. But he says, "Drench it. Not more. Drench it. Drench it." There's something happening in this guy. He just knows God is going to act there. There's a supernatural faith. And at the time of the offering of the oblations, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all the things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that this people may know, O Lord, that you are God, and that they have turned their hearts, that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt wood, the offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." There's a manifestation of God in all His power. It didn't matter how wet that thing was. And he was like, "Yeah, more, more, more. Drench it." And then his faith just triggered this incredible outpouring of fire. What's interesting is if we look just a little bit later in Kings 19 verse 1, it says Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah had done, and he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to you and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And then he was afraid and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. This is the same Elijah that had that incredible faith. No, 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 wetter, wetter. No, make it completely drenched. God's going to send fire to burn up all that water, lick up all that water. But here he's just a little while later, Jezebel's coming after him. And I don't know, his normal level of faith, it's not the same as it was when he was having that challenge with the prophets of Baal, and he runs for his life. It just shows that he had a supernatural, exceptional gift of faith for that situation. And then there's healing. It's the other one of the power gifts. That's when someone is just supernaturally touched and healed. There's the book of Acts is full of that. The Gospels are full of that. And that's just something like it happened with in the life group with Hannes and Jono, and Jono's foot, they were saying, "We're probably going to have to amputate." It would have been nearly a year that toe wasn't getting healed. We'd prayed for it often. There'd been little bits of improvement, but that day, Hannes just felt a burning in his chest. And he said, "Can we pray for you again?" And God healed Jono's foot. That next 2 days later, he was walking home from work. He could barely walk around the block. He was walking home from work, and God healed it. And then God healed it again when Mike was here, so that all the movement came back. That's the gift of healing. Bang, that was pretty self-explanatory. But how wonderful that we trust God for that gift when there's somebody sick. It's interesting that it says it's gifts of healing. It's not a gift of healing that God gives to a person and, "Oh, I've got the gift of healing. Anybody sick, come, I'll pray for you." It's gifts of healing. God saying there's healing for that situation, that person. Now, if someone grows in the faith, they're much more susceptible to be used in that gift. So it's something that can happen time and time again. But if a person goes, "This belongs to me," and this will always happen, that's when you start to get in the flesh. And we've seen that time and time again when God is using someone and then there's an expectation on them to always heal and then they end up faking it to make it look like they've got that. It's gifts of healing that God gives. Boom! And there's a supernatural healing. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then the last one of the power gifts is the working of miracles. And that's really just a supernatural power to overcome the forces of nature. And we see, obviously, Jesus did that often, calming the storm, walking on water. He just superseded the laws of physics. Did that when you raise the dead, that person is dead, life has left their body. Absolute supernatural miracle. And the interesting thing is God says, I've got those little bits of my manifest, to manifest myself, even for you. Looking forward to something like that. It would be nice to get that gift. It would be nice to have that testimony of just a supernatural contravention of the laws of physics. And then, as I say, there's the speech, which is prophecy, kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But we're going to pick that up next week. A lot of exciting things. I trust that as we've looked at those, that our hearts will be expectant for more of what the Holy Spirit has for us. And just in closing, we're going to spend a bit of time. It's still early. We're going to have a few more, a little bit of a worship time after the preach, just to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, Lord, what bits, what manifestations do you want to give to me that I can give away, that I can manage well, that I can steward and be a blessing to others? Ephesians 5 verse 18 says this, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word be filled, the grammar is important in Greek. For one thing, it's present, which means regularly and continually. Be continually being filled. And then it's also an imperative. Be filled. It's not an option. It's not a, if you, you know, perhaps. It's a command from the Lord. You need to be filled. If you're filled with my Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking life to one another. You'll be singing songs of encouragement and blessing and grace. And you'll be worshiping God. We need to be being filled. And that's what we want to do right now. We want to just say, God, we've heard of all these exciting things. And as I say, I'm sure there's testimonies that have been carried. But let's just go to God and say, Lord, we want to see more. I want to see more. I don't want to get to heaven and the Lord says, look at the shelves. There's the Bruce shelf. There's all the gifts that I wanted to, you little pockets of my grace that I wanted to give people. What a pity! What a pity, Bruce, you didn't pursue me. What a pity you weren't more alert. More filled at each given time with my Spirit. I don't want to have that. And so let's just go to God and ask Him to help us. Help us, help me, Lord, in my unbelief. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the exciting things that we've seen here, the amazing promises. And I really pray, Lord God, that you're going to help us to open our hearts towards what it is that you want to do, what it is that you want to give us. And we want to spend a bit of time just as we worship, Lord, as we focus on your character, focus on what you're wanting to do in this world, Lord, what you're wanting to do through us, Lord, and how your Holy Spirit wants to operate through us. And I just pray, Lord, we're not going to just sing some songs. We want to open our hearts to hear from you. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you stir us, would you meet with us, in Jesus' name. So guys, if you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to kneel, but let's just, we've got about three